The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Listen again anytime, 24/7. Visit our podcast page at LarryMarino.com. Sunday morning, newsmakers, AM 870, The Answer.
Corey DeAngelis is the director of school choice at the Reason Foundation and an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. He is joining us to talk about homeschooling in light of COVID-19 and the fact that millions of people across our state are now switching to homeschooling. Pretty much mandatory as they've closed the public schools. Corey, thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Larry.
So how's it going? Any word on how this transition to homeschooling is going for all those millions of kids?
Yeah, like you said, this crisis has really unexpectedly essentially increased homeschooling in California from around 2.4% right before the virus to essentially 100% of the school-age population right now. Now, I will say a lot of families are doing virtual schooling as well, which the homeschooling community likes to differentiate itself from that because those are essentially charter schools or government-run schools doing the virtual schooling option. But essentially, there's a ton of families right now who are having to adjust to this virus, and homeschooling is one way to do it. Online learning is another way to do it. Virtual schooling is a way to do it, and you know there are speed bumps along the way because this is an unexpected thing that's happening. But I get the feeling that a lot of families are seeing that, hey, look, students can actually learn things without formal schooling. They can learn things at home, and we can actually do this if we come together. And there's a lot of online communities that are sharing a ton of resources and helping each other out with sharing these online resources to be able to provide that continuity of education for children at home.
So what's happening in most homes where the kids are home? Is there some materials? Is there a website that students are going to? Are they connecting up on computers? What's a typical day like for kids at home learning these days?
Yeah, I will say that this differs by the specific family that we're talking about, the state that we're talking about, and also it differs by the type of educational program that the kids enrolled in. If it's a virtual charter school, for example, it's still essentially a schooling environment, something that you would imagine in a brick and mortar school, just happening at home on the computer, where students are learning through the virtual curriculum provided by those charter schools or even district-run schools. So district-run schools in California are actually currently providing virtual educational services for students who are affected by the crisis. So, this isn't only a charter school option that's occurring, and it's not only homeschool communities who are adapting to the virus as well. It's everybody coming together to try to figure out the best way to serve their students. And, again, that could look like just like what it looks like in the current system, just happening from your computer at home. And I will say there's a lot of resources out there. There's a Facebook group called Learn Everywhere, and it has about 9,000 people who almost instantly join this group, and there are tons of resources being shared in this group, Learn Everywhere, on Facebook. So if there's any parents out there who are listening, I would recommend that as like one of the number one things to pursue to see how to adjust.
I'm getting a sense that colleges were already in a transition. They were already videotaping courses, that the online transition to the university system was kind of quietly going on behind the scenes. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, for a recent PhD student, I can understand where you're coming from with this argument that, yes, college campuses throughout the United States and the rest of the world are already transitioning to virtual learning, but not all classes, obviously. There are some professors who prefer to do face-to-face instruction, but there are a lot of professors and a lot of colleges who are seeing the benefits of allowing students to learn from home and allowing students to participate in virtual discussion boards in colleges already. So, I mean, this is speeding up the process. The pandemic has sped up the process for a lot of colleges and universities and professors throughout the United States, but you're right. A lot of professors were already doing this in one way or another. So that, I think the colleges that were already doing this have kind of a competitive advantage at this time in that, you know, they're not having to scramble as much during this time.
All right, let's talk about some of the issues at stake. You know, we hear about the government stimulus program that's coming up, checks to families. You write about the possibility of revenue sharing out of the school district back into families to provide parents the tools to get learning elements for their kids. Walk us through this. I have not heard this argument being made. It's kind of been in a void that schools were going to get to keep all that money and the kids were kind of dumped on their parents at home. That didn't seem fair.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the main point that I've been arguing, that, look, you know, this crisis is costly to a lot of people. It's costly to the school district employees, but it's also costly to families who now, you know, a lot of families are missing out on employment opportunities, so they're having less income. So that's a huge cost to families. But then also they're having to deal with additional child care costs because the brick-and-mortar schools are closing down throughout the United States. Nearly all of the brick-and-mortar schools in the United States are closed at the moment, private and public brick-and-mortar schools in the United States. So families are getting hit twice as hard by this crisis. And one of my arguments is that, well, we already have families paying for the public education system. In California, I think that's around $13,000 per child per year. Why don't we allow some of that money to go back into the pockets of families? What I argued online was that, you know, one way to do it is to just allow families and school districts to split the money 50-50. That seems to be like a good deal for both parties. It's a good deal for school districts in the sense that they're getting 50% of the revenues for not having to educate any children, unless they're doing so virtually, but they're not having to educate any children in person. And families, that seems to be like an obvious win as well, because now they have half of their child's education dollars to be able to adapt to the crisis, to be able to afford child care services, to be able to afford these virtual learning environments and homeschooling expenses. So I think that's a good way to that school districts can meet families halfway in this environment to be able to adjust to the crisis. And maybe it's not 50-50. Maybe it's, you know, maybe school districts get to keep 80%.
Yeah. There's another story that's kind of brewing here, coming along parallel to this. Just as you have parents stepping up to educate their kids at home, you have a Harvard summit that is discussing regulating homeschooling, with the presumption of a ban on homeschooling with the burden on parents to demonstrate justification and permission to homeschool. Walk us into this debate. We have just a few minutes. What's going on here? Is there a group of educators who feel that moms and dads aren't necessarily qualified to do this job?
Yeah, so I just caught wind of this Harvard Law School-sponsored summit that's happening in June 19th. I just saw this yesterday, so I don't know when this was planned, but it almost seemed like it was planned as a direct response to the reality that the pandemic has shifted a lot of families into homeschooling and virtual schooling environments, and this seems like a way to combat the freedom of families to be able to do so. And it, just looking at the conference agenda, the topics are things like concerns with homeschooling, maltreatment of children, regulatory oversight, and they even call to ban homeschooling outright, to make it illegal, which is absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, I looked through the program. There aren't any pro-homeschooling points of view that are even being represented at this conference, so I'm actually pretty worried about it. But I don't think it's going to be very effective in actually taking away the right of families to educate their own children.
Yeah, take just a moment to talk about the strengths of homeschooling. I certainly have done stories many times on the winners of spelling bees. Typically, a higher anecdotal number of them come from homeschooling than from the classroom education. Homeschooling can work, can be very successful, and this country has a history of it, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, obviously. If you look at the most recent review of the scientific evidence on homeschooling, there's one done by Brian Ray, published in the Journal of School Choice in 2017. He did a review of all of the rigorous evidence on homeschooling, and overwhelmingly the evidence finds that homeschoolers actually do better on academics, but also they do better on social outcomes as well, because a lot of people will say that homeschoolers aren't good with socialization, but that's not actually true.
Yeah, it was a theory that somehow kids, if they were kind of isolated at home, they wouldn't develop the social interactions with others and might be aloof or not good at that.
Yeah, that's a totally bogus claim, because homeschoolers still get types of socialization through, you know, community sports, different clubs that they can participate in, and they get to avoid a lot of the negative socialization that happens in government-run schools in the United States. If you just look at all these reports of, you know, child abuse happening in the government-run schools, fighting, drugs, gang activity, there's a lot of things, these negative socializations that occur in the government-run schools that homeschoolers actually get to avoid that helps them out in the long run.
Yeah, I saw a comedian on TV the other night talking about this situation of, you know, having to homeschool is suddenly parents are having to confront mathematics and algebra and things that they thought they were past and have to re-understand it to be able to help their kids. What about that? Talk about the parents and their role and having to revisit some of these complex equations that thought they never had to deal with again.
Yeah, one way is for the parents to educate the children directly, but the parent can also just be essentially a guide for the child. The child can pursue their own educational interests. They can learn things online. They can use these virtual school curriculums, and they can learn from the best and the brightest from Harvard and other elite institutions.
So they don't just have to go to mom and dad and have them explain the algebraic equation. We're out of time. I wish we could talk longer. It is certainly an interesting subject. Corey DeAngelis joins us. His piece that we picked up was called How California's School System Can Adapt to Coronavirus. And certainly you make the point that there may be a demand after this is over. Some parents and kids may like this so much, they stick with it, right?
Yeah, that absolutely seems like it should be the case. We don't know how much it's going to be the case, but a lot of families are going to figure out that, hey, this seems like to be like it's a good idea.
With that, we have to leave it there. Out of time. Appreciate you being on the program today. Corey DeAngelis, Director of Schools Choice, Reason Foundation, appreciate you being on.
All right, thank you so much. Have a good one.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
Up next, the Barack Lurie Show, hosted by attorney Barack Lurie. The very popular Barack Lurie Show is filled with stimulating conversation and a fresh point of view on politics, religion, and the law. Next on AM 870, The Answer.